But it's great to be at home this morning, and we were on holiday 2 weeks ago visiting family. And then last week I was preaching away, and I just have to tell you, this is nothing to do with my preach, right? But I have to tell you a story of what happened to me when I got to Scunthorpe last week, because I did find this quite hilarious. Yeah. So we got there, and we were kind of, you know, taken in to the main church hall, and the guys, the techie guys, run at any preacher, okay, as soon as they get there. And they kind of, you know, came to me, and what would you like to speak with? Do you want the handheld? Do you want the sticky thing that comes round in your face? And that's what I call it, because I'm not technically advanced at all. And so I went, okay, I'll use the hands-free kit, okay? And so they were kind of showing me how to use it, and they said, look, shall we get you sorted now? And, like, we'd been traveling for over an hour. I said, listen, boys, I just need to go to the loo. Okay, now if it had been our own tech guys, that would have been fine. Okay, but it's like people I don't know, and this microphone is always on. So I'm like, I really don't want to go in the loo with a microphone that's on, like, and the whole church here. Because that just wouldn't have been good, would it? So I said, no, we'll leave it here. So I kind of went into the girls' loos, because I wouldn't have gone into the men's, would I? So not unless I was, you know, mistaken. And so I went into the girls' loos, and I got into the cubicle. I'm just about to go to the loo, and all of a sudden, I hear Russ Westfield going, good morning, 1-2, 1-2, good morning. So he was testing my mic, and they have speakers in the loos, and I was literally just about to go to the loo when I thought, okay, where is he? Because I'm positive it's the girls' loos, okay, because it had, like, the nice soap and hand cream. We don't put that in blokes' loos, do we? And so I'm positive it's girls' loos, and, like, Russ was testing the microphone, so as I was going to the loo, I had Russ chatting to me, which is wrong on every level, really. And I just thought that I would share that with you this morning. That's what happens. Like, you always think that, like, preaching away and being asked to speak somewhere, it's all quite glamorous. It's not. It's the senior pastor talking to you when you're in the loos. That's the kind of thing that happens when you go away to preach. So, but it is great to be home, and it's great to be back with family, and it doesn't matter where I go. And I was in Shears last weekend, and it was amazing, and it was fantastic. And then we come home to our worship team, and I just kind of breathe out, because they're phenomenal. Yeah. And so being home is one of the greatest things that we have. And what I want to do this morning, I want to speak from a verse in Proverbs that sometimes you come as a minister to speak on, and you think people are either going to love it or hate it, but we go for it anyway. And it says this. In Proverbs 11, verse 24, in the Message version of the Bible, it says this. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Because the next few weeks, we're going to talk around this subject. It says this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I could just go and sit down and allow us to think on that. There's a sealer at the end of that. I've put that in. But let's pause. Let's think about that. The world of the generous grows what?
Larger.
Larger and larger. And the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So at the beginning of what I'm going to talk to us about this morning, I want to ask you a question. And the question is simply this. How big do you want your world to be? How big do you want your life to be? How influential, how far-reaching do you want it to be? Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11 and verse 24 that our capacity is linked to our generosity.
Right.
That our capacity as a Christian, our capacity of faith, our capacity in what we're going to do in life is linked to our generosity. And I want to set out by saying this, generosity is anything. I'm not here just to do a big finance push, okay? And you'll see that throughout what I'm going to say, but that is all part of it. But generosity will grow your capacity. It will grow your world. I want my kids' worlds to be expansive. And the way that that's going to happen is for me to teach them this whole concept of generosity. Generosity is about our time, it's about our talent, it's about our stuff, it's about our food, it's about our money, it's about our words, it's about so much more than what we sometimes bring it down to. But this is what the Bible clearly says, that the world of the generous gets bigger, and the world of those who hoard and who won't give away gets smaller. Yeah. Matthew 6, verse 33 puts it in this way: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of the other things will be given to you as well. And that's tagged kind of at the end of the passage in the Bible where Jesus is telling his people, do not worry about what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about anything, but seek his kingdom first. Yeah. It doesn't say seek his provision. It doesn't say, you know, seek for what you can get. It just says this, but seek first the kingdom of God. And then everything else will be okay. Everything else will be added to you as well. The Bible tells us that God's kingdom is an expansive kingdom. It tells us that his kingdom is advancing on the earth. And we've got to begin to believe that as church, that actually God's kingdom is not just inside these four walls in our town, but actually his kingdom is advancing. His kingdom is getting larger and larger as we begin to expand our world. So it makes it very easy for God to expand his kingdom. So to seek first his kingdom, we've got to do away with a small mindset. And we've got to embrace this thing called generosity in every area of her life. Do you know, I was thinking about this verse this week, that the world of the generous becomes larger and larger. I'm thinking of the context in which we live. Because actually, this proverb doesn't necessarily fit with our town and with its mentality sometimes. You know, culturally, Louth wants to sometimes, or it feels like, I think I'm a big town city girl at heart, and sometimes it feels like we want to stay small. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Absolutely beautiful. It is the center of the universe, Meridian Line and all that kind of stuff. That is one claim to fame that I tell everybody when they ask where is Louth. Never heard of it. But culturally, we like to keep things small. We like to keep bigness out, and let's just keep everything as it is. Let's preserve everything to be as it is. Let's not allow, you know, I'm excited because I've heard rumors that a Starbucks machine is coming to one of the petrol stations. Hallelujah. Okay. And so like, I'm doing a dance of joy right now, and I'm just like, come on, do you think they can put some chairs there? Then it can actually feel a little bit like, you know, it's for real. But sometimes we can have this mindset that everything's got to stay small. Everything's got to stay controllable. Everything's got can't kind of, you know, get out of hand. And we live in a town, you know, let's keep technology out. And most of us will know when you go to turn the internet on that we kind of have that. Even like here, we live like in the center of town. And there are times when we're in the office and literally like the internet hub is in the room next to ours. And we're kind of going, okay, there's no internet. Okay, because it's kind of this little quaint little place that no one else knows about. And that, you know, we want to keep everything as we've always known it. But actually the world changes and things change. Yeah. And we've got to begin to expand our world. And we have a decision to make as the Church of Jesus Christ of, do we follow the culture or do we follow the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is generous. The Holy Spirit wants to expand. The Holy Spirit, you know, he loves this town and he wants to see it grow and he wants to see amazing things happen here. But sometimes just because we are a church in a small town doesn't mean that we have to be a small town church. Just because our location and everything around us sometimes can feel small doesn't mean that we have to culturally take that on board as the church. Yeah. Actually, what we need to grow is a town church with a world view, with a world mentality. I used to say with a city mentality, but even that for me now is not good enough. We need to grow a church. We might be in a small town in the most beautiful place in the world. Okay, we might be in that place, but actually we don't have to grow culturally like that which is around us. We can choose to be different. And so this morning I want to come and talk to us about this whole thing of generosity, because are we building his kingdom or are we going to build the kingdom of this world? I tell you something, Generations Church, I don't want to build in the kingdom of this world. I want to build something crazily amazing for the God that I serve. Yeah. I don't know if you're with me in that, but actually to do that, generosity comes into this. Yeah. When we build his kingdom, our world will get larger. So get ready for expansion. I have no idea all that this entails, but let's get ready to expand. Let's get ready to grow bigger, okay? And as we do that, God will demand a generosity of us that he's never demanded before. Right. So I've just got a few things this morning, and we're going to pray at the end. But I've got a few things this morning that I want to talk to you about generosity or this larger life. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number one. How you see it will determine whether you become it. Your view on generosity will determine whether you become a generous person or not.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of flip things around because we talk a lot of, you know, actually we don't talk a lot in church about it, but every so often we talk about in church about giving. And actually our mindset as human beings is when you give something, you then lose it.
Yeah.
Am I right? You give something away, that is it. It is no longer yours. But actually when we come to talk about generosity, I want to change the language of our church a little bit. Because if we're always looking like we're giving, okay, there'll come a point where we stop. There'll come a point where we say we can't give anymore in whatever aspect of life, be it finance, be it time, be it, you know, stuff, be it talent, whatever it is, there'll come a point when if we just look at it like we are giving, we are giving, we are giving, there'll come a point where we stop. And I want to kind of change the mentality a bit this morning. That actually this morning as the offering basket went round, we didn't just give, but we sowed.
Yeah.
Let's change the language a little bit. That this morning as we placed our finance in there, this morning maybe as some of our standing orders went out of the bank, this morning as we bring our talent, as these guys were up leading us, and they've been here since whatever time this morning, getting everything set up for you to enjoy. It's not that we are giving, but we are sowing. Because giving says I lose it, but sowing says I reap. And when we sow, we reap back. When we sow something, there is a biblical truth that says what you sow, you reap. And so this morning, I want to challenge us in this whole aspect of generosity that it's not just as giving, but it's as sowing. We're sowing into the kingdom of God. Do you know what? The money may leave my bank account and go into the church's bank account, but actually what I give and what I sow has nothing really to do with local church because I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to him.
Right.
I'm sowing into the kingdom of God, and that is through the local church, and that is how God ordained it. But this morning I want to come and say we're not just giving and giving and giving and giving, and it feels like we're losing all the time, but actually we are sowing and we are reaping.
Yeah.
I want to take us to Isaiah 54. When it comes to generosity, this is my life chapter. And talks about barrenness. It talks about being deserted by your husband. And so this has kind of become my life chapter. And when God began to speak to me about this, when I was preaching on generosity and finance, I'm like, seriously, Lord, what the heck has this got to do with anything? Great chapter in the Bible. I love it. And there was a time I wanted to rip the page out of the Bible because I didn't like it. But God, what has this got to do with anything? But in Isaiah 54, it starts like this. Sing, O barren woman. Burst into song, you who never bore a child. In your lack, bring your praise. In your lack, in that place in your life where there is lack, I want you to bring your praise. I want to tell you something about barrenness this morning. Okay, I can tell you this from personal experience. You don't feel like singing at that moment. You really don't. At that moment where you realize it's not happened again, you do not feel like singing. You feel like going to bed, pulling the duvet over your head and not coming out, if I'm absolutely honest. But this morning I want to say to you, actually, what God's talking about here is a generosity of spirit. And that kind of worship develops a generous lifestyle that will go beyond praise into other areas of your life. When you stand in your lack, whatever that may be, for us, it was the lack of children. When you stand in your lack in that area of your life where nothing seems to be going right and you begin to lift your praise, you begin to be generous with your praise and generous with your words, your world begins to get bigger and bigger, and that begins to affect other areas of your life. So I want to say this morning to you, where is it that you're feeling lack? Where is it that you've come in this morning, and as we've been worshiping, that situation has been going through your mind? I want to challenge you, be generous in your praise in those seasons. Because you will develop a lifestyle of generosity that will go beyond the situation that you're facing. You don't feel like singing when you're in lack. But when you do praise, that lifestyle and that generosity deals with the envy and jealousy that you feel sometimes. When other people seem to be getting what you are asking for, it deals with the "it's not fair" attitude that we can kind of create. It deals with the disappointment that we feel. And disappointment is a real issue in most of our lives. If you've been living and breathing for any length of time, there will be something that will have disappointed you. And in those times we come and we bring our praise and we become generous with our mouth and we become generous with our praise and with our worship of God. And as we do that, we begin to develop and create a generous lifestyle that goes beyond that. Praise is easy sometimes in abundance. But what God was saying to the woman in Isaiah 54 is that he will bring a rate of fruitfulness that will supersede the one who naturally has been able to give birth all her life. A rate of fruitfulness comes when we bring our praise, when we bring our worship, when we bring a generosity of spirit into the house of God. A fruitfulness comes that you have never seen before. Her praise will reap her a harvest. And I want to say to us this morning, as we look at this thing on generosity, if you want to reap a harvest in your life, actually praise is a great place to start. Because what I want to do is flip it and look at a comparison. And in the Old Testament, we read a story about King David. And I always laugh at this story. I always wondered how the heck I would get to preach this in a youth setting without getting told off. But King David comes and he begins to celebrate and dance before God. Okay, and at the time he wasn't fully clothed. So he began to become extravagant. We're never going to do that in our church, okay? Do not worry. But he began to become extravagant in his praise and in his worship. And the Bible tells us that his wife, Michal, she was looking on. And the Bible tells us that she despised his extravagance. She despised his generous spirit. She despised his praise. And the Bible tells us that at that moment, you know, Proverbs says that the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. At that moment, her world shrank as she became barren. Yeah. She went from being fruitful to being barren. And I want to put it to you this morning that the comparison between her and the barren woman in Isaiah 54 is simply this. One of them had a very generous spirit. Yeah. One of them had a very stingy spirit. One of them loved the presence of God and praising him and worshiping him. And the other despised, we're told, when she saw others in that celebration. And I want to say to you this morning that generosity will grow your world so much that in Isaiah 54, when the woman begins singing in her lack and is generous with her praise, her world begins to enlarge. And this is what God tells her. He says, get ready, build an extension for everything that I'm going to give you. Enlarge the place of your tent. You know, get a bigger house. Get something bigger because I'm going to fill it. And the fruitfulness that you will experience is going to fill even the extension that you're about to build. I love that. And where does it come from? It comes from a generous spirit. When you think of the word generosity, when you heard what we were preaching on this morning, what went through your mind? Because that'll kind of tell us where we are on the whole generosity thing. Did you immediately think of your lack rather than what you could sow? Our perspective on this is absolutely everything. We are sowing or we are giving because that will largely determine how we sow and how we give will largely determine what we feel about this subject. And actually, the Bible talks about sowing and reaping and generosity a heck of a lot. God wants us to be generous. John 3:16 says this, that God loved, so he gave. God loved, so he gave. So he sowed into humanity because he loved humanity. We have a policy in our family, and this may not be your policy. And if it's not, that is absolutely fine. Please don't think that I'm speaking against that. But we have this policy in our family that whatever we have, when we finished with it, we give it away. Yeah. It's just our policy. And we've always been like that. So when we finished with something, we pass it on. We give it away. And I was coming home from school with the kids one day, and Caitlin has just discovered Amazon. When girls discover that they can shop online and they don't even have to hand the money over, they just think it comes out of the bank of mum and dad. And Caitlin's coming up to being 8 years old now, and she just had her Christmas money and spent it. Oliver had Christmas and his birthday, so had a lot more money than she did. And so we were driving home from school one day. She said, "Mum, I've got an idea." I was like, "Oh, no." And I want to buy this. I said, "Well, sweetie, you don't have any money, so why don't you put it on your birthday list?" She went, "My birthday's too far away." I was like, "Okay." She said, "I've got an idea. Why don't we put a table outside the house and all the stuff that I finished with, we can put on the table and I can sell it?" I said, "Well, it doesn't really fit in with our family, that, does it, Caitlin?" She was like, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, what happens when we are finished with our stuff?" She says, "We give it away." I said, "Well, yeah. So actually, some of that stuff someone's given to you. I don't actually think we should then sell it on. I think we have this thing in our family that when we're finished with it, if it can be used by someone else, we give it." She says, "But I want some money." So we're kind of thinking this through. So Matt and I had a conversation, and we said, "Listen, if you want some money, why don't you do some jobs around the house and earn it? That way we can still give the stuff away, and you can still have some money. Why don't you earn the money that you're going to spend?" You see, because this is the thing. I would rather teach my kids to be generous and work hard than what I would to just sell whatever they want. Yeah. I'd rather teach them to be generous and give and work hard to receive than I would anything else. You see, because the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and I want to teach them that actually you may have something, kids, that someone else would absolutely love. Why not find someone to give that to? I remember they were going to Ellie's birthday party, and me and Oliver had been sorting out his room. Now, Caitlin would give you the shirt off her back. She's that kind of kid. She'll give anything away. Ollie, not so much, okay? But we were in tidying up in his bedroom one day, and he had a day of school. He wasn't feeling well, so I put him to work. And I'm not harsh, honest. And he was okay. It wasn't, you know, child labor or anything like that. But we were tidying his room, and he said, "Mummy, I don't play with this anymore." I said, "Okay. Well, who would like it?" He said, "I think Sam would like this." I said, "Okay, on Saturday, when you go to Ellie's party, Ellie's going to be getting lots of presents. Why don't we give this to Sam so he has something?" I would rather teach my kids generosity than teach them how to get all the time. Yeah. They get enough. I don't need to teach them how to get anymore. I need to teach them how to give, how to enlarge their world to include other people. How we feel about generosity will determine whether we become generous. Just some perspectives that are not part of the generous. So we're ready, just three or four things here. If I give, I lose. That's not true, because the rhythm of grace says that when we give in any way, that God gives back to us. Some people have an irrational fear of losing stuff, so they hold on to it. But the reality is that one day we will leave it all behind anyway. What we will take with us is our spirit, is that part of us that connects us to God. And my legacy will never be with the stuff I leave behind, but it will be with the generosity in which I have lived. My legacy is not going to be in everything that I leave for my kids to spend. My legacy is going to be how I taught them to live. Yeah. It's going to be the generosity I had when I was alive in every way, in my words, in my speech, in what I do, in what I give, in absolutely everything. So we can kind of look at it. If I give, I lose. Secondly, if I give, God will give back to me exactly the same, only a bit more. Right. It's not always true. Do you know, God is constantly generous towards us, but he knows what's good for us, and that's how he gives to us. Giving to get is not generosity, but it's payment for what you'll receive. It's like we want to buy God's reward. Let me tell you, that's not how God works. I'm not going to say this morning, you know, you give me 10 pounds and I will, you know, God will then give you X amount in return, because I haven't experienced that in life. I'll be honest with you. What I do know is that God gives to me in so many ways. As I give to him in so many ways, he gives to me in so many different ways. Thirdly, generosity is about the amount. Do you know what? Generosity has nothing to do with an amount of anything. Generosity has to do with the heart and with the motive. Because do you know what? This is the reality. If you give in any way with the wrong motives, you may give, but you're not generous.
That's right.
If I come and I give of my time to this house with a wrong motive, I'm not being generous with my time. If I come and I give in finance with the wrong motive, I'm not being generous. Generosity is to do with your heart. It's not to do with the amount or what you give. It's to do with the way that your heart responds to God. And so this morning, how you see generosity will determine whether you become generous. Number two, generosity brings a sense of responsibility. When we live a generous life, we take responsibility for the things that God has given us. I noticed something in the Bible this week. In 2 Samuel, God and David are having a dialogue, and David is praying to God. And God comes to him and said, David, will you establish my house on the earth? Because up until this point, God's not had a home. He's not had anywhere to live, if you like. David, will you establish a house for me? And David comes back, yes, God, I'll establish a home for you. And later on, down in that prayer, this is God's response to David's response. God says to David, and David, I will establish your house. Yeah. And there's this thing that actually when we take responsibility and we establish God's kingdom on the earth, we seek first his kingdom, that he will establish our house. That as we give in whatever way it is, God gives back to us and he establishes our house. When we take the responsibility that God has given us, he takes his responsibility over our life very seriously. He told him to build a home for him. And even though Solomon built the bricks and mortar of God's house, David established a house for God in the heart of his son and brought the vision for it. Yeah. Last week, I was at Shears, and we were in a session that was talking about City Hearts, and I absolutely love City Hearts. City Hearts is the arm of the church that has a restore program for people who have had life-controlling issues and now deals more and more in the anti-trafficking side of things. People that might have been trafficked through work or through other means, okay? And it's basically, it's modern-day slavery. And we listened to a girl that had come out of the trafficking scene, and it was just incredible. I just sat there going, God, what an amazing ministry they're doing right now on the face of the earth. Yeah. And Matt and I had a discussion a couple of weeks ago, and we'd kind of said, okay, for the next few months, we are spending no extra money. And, you know, things are a bit tight, so we're not spending anything extra. And I had the envelope in my hand. And I was in the middle of this thing, and we weren't allowed to use phones or anything like that because the girl who was speaking needed to keep her identity secret. And I'm like, I can't use my phone, and I've got the envelope. I know what we've said, but I've got the envelope. What am I going to do? Because I know what God is saying to me. And because actually, I submit to Matt where it comes to financing our house, and I know what he had told me. And I'm going, God. And God said, just tick the box. I was like, oh. And I know that Matt's going to be fine with it, but I know what we had said, and I know what we're trying to do with our finance. And God said, tick the box. And so I'm having this discussion with God. Joe sat next to me, probably had no idea I'm having this discussion with God. And I have to tell you that we don't have tons of stories where God comes through and we get like checks in the post. That very rarely happens to Matt and I. So if, you know, if any of you feel, no, joking. But over the last few months, and I never even told Matt this, over the last few months I've been praying over some things in our home. And God, it'd be great if we could sort this out. And it'd be great if, you know, because I never told Matt, because you know what? there's nothing he could do about it because we're doing all that we can. And so I just told God, because you know what? There's loads he can do about it. Yeah. And I gave into that offering, and I didn't give thinking about my house. I didn't give thinking about anything else other than building his kingdom, seek first his kingdom. And God, as I am putting this in, actually, I was thinking of here and the dreams that I've got for this house here. And God, I'm sowing right now. I wasn't even giving, I was sowing. God, I'm sowing into this because I know what's on my life. I know what's on the life of our church. And I'm sowing every year, I sow into City Hearts. And I came home, and over the course of the week, God has provided for those things that only I knew I had told him. We had no way of making those things work. But this is what God says. When you establish my house, yeah, I'll establish your house. Yeah. You know, last week was a crazy week, and came home from Shears, and Matt and I were in Scunthorpe on Sunday, and we left the kids here, and we got back. Matt went and picked the kids up, brought them home. I had 15 minutes with them in the house, and then I went out, and I came and did Encounter. And this week has just been a crazily busy week. But you know what? As I establish his house, he takes care of my house. And I'm watching my kids grow up with a love for the house of God and a love for God's people and a love for God. And it's absolutely incredible. And my belief and my faith stance is, God, as you sometimes take me out from there and you put me in here, and we establish something in this town and we establish more through Generations Church, God, you're going to take care of mine. Yeah. You're going to take care of Matt. You're going to take care of the kids. And I want to say, actually, when we take our responsibility and when we establish something with God, he does take care of the things that we care about. Because it's not just about building the bricks and mortar. And there's things that we want to do in this place that's going to take us to sow, that's going to take us to financially be generous. But you know what? It's not just about, when God says establish my house, he's not just saying establish the bricks. He's saying establish the people. Establish the people. And as we seek first his kingdom and we establish and we put in place ways to love more, ways to take care of you guys more, ways to help, ways to get involved in our community. As we do that, God will take care of not just the bricks and mortar of my home, but also the people inside it. There is a balance that we need to find. I have a responsibility God gave me and Matt, Caitlin and Ollie, and we're not about to abandon that and just expect God to do the rest. Okay, there is a balance that we need to find. But you know what? God's also called us to establish his house. Yeah. He's also called us to lead his house. So generosity will bring with it a sense of responsibility. And then lastly, a larger world will always give us a larger context. Do you know what? When we are generous, our context grows. As we build God's kingdom, he will then take us out of the small and put us in the larger, and then the larger, and then the larger. And I want to challenge us with this collectively this morning. That actually collective generosity will cause our world to grow. It will cause our world to increase. Yeah. When we create resource for God's kingdom, he will use it to bless far wider than what our eyes can see. Let me tell you this morning. We've only got one global team member in the house as well. Liz is downstairs with the kids, but Neil is here. Okay, global team. And do you know what? As we send a team to Africa next year, our world will increase. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. And these guys are not going for a holiday. If you've put your name down thinking that, I'm about to burst your bubble, okay? We're going to bless one by one. We're going to bless that part of Africa. We're going to bless those kids in that orphanage. We're going to bless the leadership there. We're going to bless the towns and the villages around. And I'm telling you, as we become generous with our people, as we become generous with our resource, our world's going to increase. Yeah. We're not going to stay this little small. The Bible says, don't despise the day's small beginnings, but it doesn't say stay there. It says, come on, let's expand, let's grow. And this morning, I want to challenge us that collectively, as a church, as we begin to send people, as we begin. I was listening to some people's dreams this week that involve other nations of the world, and I am looking forward to our church expanding into those nations. As we begin to send people, as we begin to resource things, as we begin to collectively, you know, send finance, to collectively be generous to other people rather than just to ourselves, our world is going to get larger and larger. Yeah. And so I want to challenge us this morning, Generations Church. When we are kingdom mindset, not organization mindset, our world's going to grow. The church isn't an organization. It is, but it isn't. The church is the living embodiment of everything that God is, or it should be. The church should be the most generous place you ever walk into in every way. You should walk out. I remember when I was young, and if someone complimented you, they'd get told off. And they'd say, don't do that because their head will become too big. I want our church not to be big-headed in the way that we're arrogant, but I want us to know what God thinks of us. I want us to know. I want us to be extravagant with our generosity of our words. And I want us to be extravagant in our generosity towards one another. Generosity is not just about money, but about taking responsibility for what God has given you. I want to flag up a date with you. You're a partner with our church. The 11th of June is our partners' night. It's a night where we're going to begin to throw out vision and new structure in the house. It's going to be quite an important night. I'm giving you quite a few months' notice. Do you know what? When we take responsibility of his house, he'll take responsibility of the things that matter to us. And I want to say to you, if you're a partner with us, then come on, let's take our responsibility. And let's make sure that we come and that we are a part of that. Yeah. We're going to, in the next few months, be taking an offering for this building. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. So I'm asking this morning, are you with us? Are you going? Are we going to? Because generosity is not about an amount, it's about the heart. Yeah. And I want to make that perfectly clear. Because do you know what? When we give, and it still doesn't meet what we need, God gives. But actually what he wants to look at is the generous heart of the people that he's given responsibility to for the house that they're in. Together, we're responsible for this house. We're responsible for our staff. We're responsible for the things that go on in here. We're responsible for the spiritual temperature that happens in this place. And I just want to say to you this morning, guys, thank you. I couldn't do a preach on this without coming back and saying thank you. Every time we make it to the end of the year and we just see the faithfulness of God, you know what? It's not just the faithfulness of God, it's the faithfulness of you.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to say to you this morning, thank you so much for everything that you give. Thank you so much for your generous attitude towards us, for your generous attitude and just allowing us sometimes to make the mistakes and yet still stand with us, for your generous attitude in the way that you encourage us, in the way that you speak well of us, in the way that, you know, you just come and you are the greatest church on the face of the planet. And that is what Matt and I sincerely think, that actually God has placed us in the greatest place that he could have done. And he's placed us with the greatest people. And he's placed us with the greatest team. And he's placed us with the greatest bunch of people with the biggest heart. And I just want to say thank you. But we're calling again because we want our world to grow. We want our church to expand. We want our vision to grow. We want, you know, the amount of people that know about us to grow. And so this morning, I'm asking, will you join with us again in your praise, in your speech, in your finance, in your giving, in the way that you look after the people in your world. Are you going to join with us and go, okay, we're going to go on this journey of the world of the generous. God, teach me again how I can be generous. Teach me again, Father God. Take me to the next level. Take me to the next larger place that you've got for me. Because this is what God says to us, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. And you know what? Then God will fill it.